Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and this is the Revisionist Report on July 11th. Well, we're beginning a new week, and we're going to get into some real World War II revisionism this week. Tomorrow, I'm going to have Will Hank joining me with real facts and figures that he can give us relating to the Eastern Front. But today, I'm going to talk about an article that especially caught my interest that appears in the latest Barnes Review magazine. The article is titled The Theft of Silesia. But before that, I have to mention a report that came out last week. It is that Islamic extremists are calling for three English towns to be turned into autonomous Islamic emirates. There I go with my pronunciation again. I didn't check that out. I just saw this right before the program started. These emirates would operate entirely outside British law, run by Sharia law. Now, admittedly, these are considered extremists. These are not in the majority. It's a group called the Muslims Against the Crusades. What a name, huh? MAC. And they don't speak for or represent all Muslims. However, they have targeted Dewsbury, Bradford, and Tower Hamlets in East London, the last is in East London, as test beds for blanket Sharia rule, according to the article in the Daily Mail. And this is material that's on their website. The medieval emirates would operate entirely outside British law, and they write, quote, "We suggest it is time." This is the part that I'm interested in. "It is time that areas with large Muslim populations declare an emirate, delineating that Muslims trying to live within this area are trying to live by the Sharia as much as possible with their own courts and community watch and schools and even self-sufficient trade." Now, the point that I want to make here from all this is that the idea that the population determines what takes place in a community because they have the numbers to vote for it. There are large numbers of Muslims in these three towns. And this is a time-honored idea, which is enshrined in democracy, that the majority rules and you fit the government to what the population desires. Even though it's not necessarily honored in practice, if it doesn't fit what the ruling elite or ruling power desires, as we know, and we're certainly finding out more and more all the time, I really wanted to bring this up because we're going to see that in the story of Silesia, it's all about the population and their ability or non-ability to have the government that fits them. But now here, you've got a population that is quite opposite or quite different from the indigenous or traditional population. And this is presenting a problem. But we find that the makeup of the population does represent a force or perhaps a problem. Even though we have ethnic cleansing that has gone out throughout history. Okay, we'll continue with that when we get back.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
All right, we're back. This is Carolyn Yeager with the Revisionist Report, and I was kind of stumbling over my words there when we went to the break, and let me start over again here. Talking about the population in an area and the influence that it has over what the laws and rules are and what actually takes place. Of course, we know that in democracy, we talk a good game about the people deciding for themselves what they want to have, but it doesn't always work out that way, as we're going to see in this article that I'm going to talk about. And that's why I wanted to bring this up too and make this point, because the fact is that the makeup of the population is a force and perhaps can be seen as a problem. We know that because of all the ethnic cleansing that has gone on throughout history. Ethnic cleansing is done in order to get rid of the part of the population that is not going to go along with the way the other part of the population wants things to be done. So whether you think ethnic cleansing is good or bad in any given situation really depends on which side you're on. If you're not involved, you can condemn it. But if you are involved, you often don't, even though you might pretend you are or call it a different name or something. You know, we go through all sorts of acrobatics to cover for ourselves. All right, now, from the magazine... And let me say that I want to finish this, since I can't continue it tomorrow. I'm not going to be taking calls right away. Hopefully I'll move right through this, and then if there are some calls, we can take the calls towards the end of the program. So don't call in right away, because you'll just have to wait on the phone and wait and see what I'm going to have to say here. Now, in this issue of the Barnes Review, there is this article titled "The Theft of Silesia," written by Rudy Paul. I have to look at the. I've just got it in the magazine. I have to have different glasses and all this stuff to read the magazine. So, Rudy Pawelka, all right. And Rudy Pawelka is the German national chairman of the Association of Silesian Exiles. So, you know, he's still speaking up for what happened and for getting recognition for what actually happened back then, after World War I and following from that. And the article was translated by Peter Strahl. So it was written in German, and it was translated. And I found it a little bit confusing, because this is not too confusing, but this is a confusing time, and it kind of goes back and forth. So I'm trying to make it as clear as possible. And so I want to say that on May 7th, 1919, was the time that the peace conditions, so-called, of the victorious powers in World War I became known. May 7th, 1919, we're talking about the Versailles Treaty. And it provided, they use the word provided, they're trying to be very diplomatic here. It called for, called for the cession of the German province, province of West Prussia, would be actually, to Poland. Poland has been newly restored and enlarged by the Versailles Treaty. Poland is not like Poland didn't exist. Of course they existed, but they gained from this because they were lined up with the Allies, and the Germans lost from it because they were not defeated. So thereby, Poland gained a very large piece of territory that was had been Germany and was full of Germans living there. And it gave them access to the Baltic Sea via what was called the Polish Corridor. And this was the justification that was given, that Poland needed access to the Baltic Sea, which the Germans didn't argue about, but they didn't think they needed to have that big of a piece to get their access to the sea. So, but anyway, this turned East Prussia, because this was West Prussia, this turned East Prussia into an exclave. That is, it was separated from mainland Germany. And now we had a problematic situation for sure, and lots of differences of opinion, but certain parties had their way. Now, this brought about some violence in Upper Silesia. Upper Silesia was the main part of the German population in West Prussia. And so this is what we're going to be using the name of Silesia from now on, where the Poles were most interested in cleansing of the Germans. You know, that was their long-range goal, because the Germans, this was an industrial region. There was wealth here because of that. This was a mining and coal and lots of mineral wealth there and lots of industry. And so there, most of it was owned and run by Germans. And other Germans were employed, and Poles came into that area and were employed. Lots of Poles had come in and were living in that area too. And now, so this was the situation. Now they were saying, well, now this belongs to Poland, and what are we going to do about all these Germans, and the Germans own everything here? We don't really like that. So, but they, you know, outwardly like, well, you know, they can all live in peace there, okay? But what happened was there was some violence going on, especially in the larger cities, and it resulted in mass resistance by the German population and atrocities against German civilians, too numerous to recount. This is because of the attitude of the Polish government toward what was toward the Germans there. Now, this was not official yet. This was still just in the treaty. But already, as soon as it was made public, you know, became known in May 1919, the Poles began taking action, really before they should have, to try to position themselves to be in control and try to drive the Germans out, really try to make them want to leave. So at the instigation, though, of British Prime Minister David Lloyd George, he said that there ought to be a plebiscite in this Upper Silesia, or a major portion of it, that we could find out what the people wanted, you know, whether they wanted to join Poland or whether they wanted to join Germany. He was the only one. He did stand up, but he didn't push it very hard. But he did say we need to have this plebiscite. And so they said, oh, well, okay. And so they had arranged for there to be a plebiscite. Now, the plebiscite didn't take place until later. They had to set up commissions to plan for it and so on. But the Polish side did not like the idea of having a referendum and having a vote on this because they knew what would happen, really. And so they started creating some problems, which they called uprisings. But the author says that these were not really uprisings because they were acts of aggression staged against Germans by the Polish government. That's, they were really behind the scenes run by the Polish government, encouraging not only civilians, but militia groups that had been created, and also Polish army forces to go in and, you know, I don't know what exactly they did, but they created a lot of trouble and atrocities. They attacked Germans and, you know, just kind of wild goings on, in which Germans were quite helpless. You know, Germany was disarmed. These Germans did not have any way to truly defend themselves, but yet they tried to, and they did a pretty good job of it, which we'll see. Now, going on, the chief agitator, according to this article, was a man named, I won't even try to pronounce his first name, something like Wojciech Korfanty, though, Korfanty. He was born in Prussia, which was the German Empire at that time, in 1873, as he was a Roman Catholic. And since most of the Germans in the north there in Prussia were Lutheran, and the Poles have always been Catholic and still are, he was clearly, and from his name too, a Polish Catholic. Because, as I said, there were Poles living in the Germans were in the majority, but that doesn't mean there weren't a lot of Poles living in Prussia. And Poles were always in Prussia, always. So that's part of the situation there. Now, when he was 28 years old, he became editor-in-chief of a Polish language newspaper. That was in 1901. Anyway, he was considered a Polish national activist, and he eventually became a deputy leader of the Polish government. I'll come up to this in a minute exactly. He was deputy defense minister of Poland and of the Polish government. And so now he sided with the Poles. And so we had Prussians, people who were Prussian citizens, siding with one side or another in this problem area here. Now, the second, number two I've got here, the second thing to go into is that at the end of 1919, you know, we're talking about May 1919, at the end of 1919, both sides had set up their plebiscite commissions, and Korfanty worked from Bethune in Upper Silesia, and Kurt Urbanek, his German counterpart, that is the one who was the German, you know, standing up for the Germans in Silesia, established himself in Katowice, which is known now as Katowice, which is further south. All right, we're going to a break, and I think I'll be able to get through this whole thing before the end of the show. Be right back.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and here I go again with my story about the theft of Silesia. I left off saying that the two representatives, the Polish of the people, so to speak, the Polish and the Germans in the area of Silesia that was contested, were lining up. And now, we have the signing of the Versailles Treaty on June 28th. Well, I think it was June 26th, 1919. And 2 days later, or it was June 28th, one or the other. But 2 days later, the Polish leadership planned to march into Upper Silesia right after the signing, see, to show its power. But it was kept from doing it by this Korfanty, who was very concerned with world public opinion. And so while he was quite aggressive, in the Polish approach, he was also worried about public opinion, so he was watching that. And of course, the rank and file and massive polls were not concerned about that. Now, he called off this planned march, but due to some kind of communications delay, it did not reach the central command in Bethune, and so the Polish insurgents in Upper Silesia struck without support from the army in Sosnowitz. They were supposed to march under the leadership of the Polish army in Sosnowitz. That's another city in this area. But they went, but they didn't have the support. But still, this was known as the first uprising, and they did a lot of damage to the Germans there. Not as much as they could have done, but it certainly caused the Germans to be very, very concerned about what was going on. Now, the Versailles Treaty then went into force on January 10th, 1920. You see, it was signed earlier, but now it was now official on January 10th, 1920. And at this time, Allied occupation troops moved into the electoral region. This is the region that was going to have this plebiscite to vote. And the occupation troops were made up of 13,000 French, 2,000 Italians, and 1,000 British. So you see that the French were mainly in control. And it was the French that were really pushing for this. You know, the French have a long relationship with Poland, friendly and helpful relationship back and forth. And so the French, and of course the French hate the Germans. And after World War One, there was no one no nation more vindictive against Germany than France. It was incredibly vindictive. And the Poles shared in that, actually. And of course, they were on either side of Germany. When you have your close neighbors are the ones that are most likely, you know, against you. So this was a situation. This Allied force was mainly French. And in response, German security forces made up of a border defense, police, and military had to be withdrawn. That was the security that the Germans had created for themselves there. They had to stand down. And there was only a German security police of 3,500 men that was tolerated just to try to protect the Germans. But Polenti says that they were not suited, these troops were not suited to defend the population against terror, this increasing terror of Polish gangs. Now, in addition, the French garrison allowed Polish violence, he says. He said the French allowed the insurgents to have hand grenades and firearms and permitted the supply of arms from Poland. But the Germans were not. Now, on August 17, 1920, this was later in the year that the treaty went into effect in January of that year, the largest German protests thus far were held in front of the French representative's office in Katowice. When someone shot into the predominantly German crowd and a hand grenade was thrown, it resulted in 10 dead and many wounded. This is the kind of thing that was going on. It was very unbalanced, you know, it was very unfair. And the Germans were really put into a terrible situation where they were trying to defend themselves and trying to help themselves, but they didn't, no one was on their side, really. The German government at that time was and would have been, but they really were quite powerless. So that's this. So that was called let's see what I got here now. Korfanty was still trying to exercise some restraint because of public opinion. And he came under so much pressure, though, from the high command in Sosnowitz that he eventually ordered the deployment of Polish military groups, which was called the Verbanda, which also were supported this time by units from Poland, something called Einheiten, nationalists, something like a the Verbanda was a nationalist militia. All sorts of Poles were joining up into these semi-military groups. They weren't really under military command. They were just militia-type groups. And during during this time of what we call the Second Uprising, which was kind of small, the Allies didn't do anything about it. All right, we'll be back and cover some more of this in just a few minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about the theft of Silesia here, and I want to say now that during the second Polish attack on the German Silesians, the Allies did nothing, as I said, but they did do something. They secured the entry points into the large cities with barricades. That's all they did, you know, supposedly to keep the Poles. To keep foreigners, to keep those who didn't belong there outside of these large cities in the area. But this simply made it that the Germans could not flee, they could not leave, and so they were exposed to murder, extortion, and looting and pillaging from the people that were already there, the Poles. Now, extortion, I say, because to avoid burning and looting, that is, these roaming bands and so on, who were heavily armed, and the Germans were not. They had some arms, but if they were outnumbered, then and the Poles knew they had these arms, they would take them away from them, of course, and probably shoot them. And so they didn't want to reveal what they had if they were in a very unequal situation. And so these gangs would say, well, we'll leave you alone if you give us this and this and this, you know, your cows, pigs, and a whole bunch of food or stuff that, you know, give us your jewelry or give us something. But then they would be attacked later on, so it didn't do much. But a lot of them did that in order to save themselves, I'm sure. Now, the important part here is that these Polish militias conquered large portions of German territory, and this was a blatant violation of the Versailles Treaty, and it placed France under pressure from the Allies. Korfanty, again, as I said, he called for the end of these attacks because he saw that they were getting bad public opinion from this. Now, what's important is that the chairman of the Inter-Allies Commission, the French general Henri Laurent, dissolved the German security police and established in its stead an equally manned election police under his command. That is, he had, I guess, Germans and Poles equal numbers under his command so that this plebiscite election could take place. But he left the Polish caches of weapons untouched. However, the Germans were still able to strengthen themselves from that point, which they did. And now the election was planned for March 20th, 1921. We move now into the year 1921 from 1920. And now here's another thing that took place. Now, I want you to be thinking, as I am giving this story, about how this would work for you, for us, for any of us, when we lose the support of the governing powers under which we live. And then anything goes. Anything goes. And we can imagine this, and I'm going to put it real, real plainly, we can imagine this as whites coming about for us in the future in our own land very, very easily. So this is really why this all ties in with some of my other programs. Now, at Polish instigation, 3.5 rural districts of Upper Silesia were excluded from the election. And, of course, see, the French were mostly in control, so they went along with that. 3.5 rural districts, they were excluded because they were 100% German, and success for Germany could be expected there. So they said, well, we can't have that. We have to only have the vote in places where there's both Germans and Poles living. Well, you know, this is not really fair, as you can imagine, but because it doesn't represent the entire area. But anyway, that was okayed. And then they had rules that you could vote. Your vote was good if you were 21 years old by the end of January 1921. And if you had been born there, you could vote there, of course, even if you no longer live there, though. And if you had a dwelling there before 1904, even if you had been deported as an illegal alien or something, you were entitled to vote. So this really benefited the many Polish foreign workers in the region. Now I'm going to move to the election result. And this plebiscite finally took place, and the result was that 97.7% of the population, electoral group, took part. And there were 707,000 votes for Germany. That was 59.7%, and 478,800 votes for Poland, which was 40.3%. So it was way, way in favor of Germany. And Poland thought that they would have done better because they were going by a census that had been taken earlier, but it says where a lot of the people were speaking pidgin Polish in that census, and then they were taking that as the language, and they thought those people would vote for Poland, but they didn't. So now what were they going to do? Well, here's what they did. They just didn't follow the election. By March 22nd, well, that's, we're going back again. I need to stick forward here. He's gone back to 1921. Okay, well, there was a lot of uprisings, a lot of disturbances. The third uprising, May 23 in 1921, the Poles attacked regular army units from Sosnowitz, united with the insurgents in a military force of from 60 to 80,000 men. They had armored and artillery units. They occupied a large part of Upper Silesia. And the Allies, ignored what the Poles were doing. They merely, as I said, erected these checkpoints in front of large cities to keep people out of the cities. Now, at this point, okay, here's what we need to say. At this point, British Prime Minister David Lloyd George, on May 13th, before the House of Commons in 1921, this is after this big insurgency and attack against the Germans in May 2nd and 3rd. In May 13th, George said, from a historical standpoint, Poland has not even the least right to Upper Silesia because the Polish part of the population came about only through immigration in modern times. Think about that. How well does that fit? For employment opportunities. This is why the Poles were there. They were there as immigrants into that area. Now, I want to bring up here that Lloyd George did make these comments, but he didn't put any muscle behind them, really. And so he wanted to be on record because he saw what was going on was terribly unfair, and history would not judge it very well. And so he wanted to be on record. He was the Prime Minister of Britain at the time, as being against it. But Britain was powerful, and they could have done a lot to stop it, but they didn't. Now, and also this area in that was so disputed, as I had said, was, I think I already pointed that out, I'll just repeat it real quickly, that it was a German area and lots of industry and wealth there, and it was owned by the Germans. You know, it was all these factories and industries and so on and mines and were almost all German owned. And so as Poles came there to work, and then, of course, once we had the end of the war and the Versailles Treaty, they said, well, we can just take this all over. We'll just take it from the Germans. That's where the idea of theft comes from. Now, back to Lloyd George, he said, he underscored the right of Germans to defend themselves, and he added, and I quote from him, it is intolerable to agree to a proposal which would place 2 million Germans under the governance of a people who have shown that they cannot even govern themselves. And he said that will lead to a new war. Well, again, this fits our situation where we are having increases in populations of people who have shown that they cannot even govern themselves, but they may be in a position to govern all of us, and it wouldn't be called governing either. All right. So now the news of atrocities against Germans caused so much upset among other Germans that German men started joining a volunteer corps. German volunteer corps are also always called a Freikorps. Freikorps meaning free corps, meaning they freely join up, you know, again, in a militia idea. And they began streaming into Upper Silesia. Now, on May 21st, remember we had the violence on May 2nd and 3rd, and then we had David Lloyd George speaking on May 13th. Now on May 21st, 1921, the Freikorps with 3,000 men, only 3,000, that's not a lot, attacked the Poles entrenched on the Annaberg Hill, and they were able to drive them from it. This victory had great symbolic value and intensified the dissipation of Polish units. Rudy Pawelka says that the Polish units suffered from lack of discipline, and when they were really opposed, they kind of fell apart. When they weren't opposed, they were, you know, very tough and, mean and nasty. But when they saw that they had resistance from good German fighters, they started to retreat. So now, we say that the Poles concerned, the Allies were concerned about all of this, that now these Germans were making some headway here. So they ordered the withdrawal of the German units. You know, they had never ordered the withdrawal of the Poles, but they ordered the withdrawal of the German units. They removed the barricades around Tarnowitz, and Polish insurgents were able to force their way into that city and commit atrocities against the German inhabitants. So the Allies, under mostly the control of the French, were not following their own rules and dictates of the Versailles Treaty, as unfair as that was to begin with. This is a complete lack of anybody keeping their word about anything. Now the Allies determined that the Polish and German military groups would have to leave, and so they kicked them all out. And they by July 5th, they were gone. And now we say, in spite of the election result, the Polish minority is victorious. The German hope that the election result would be recognized was not fulfilled. At the instigation of France, which was interested in a further weakening of Germany, the most important industrial region was granted to Poland by a decree of the League of Nations. So in spite of the election, in spite of all the mouthing and in spite of all the posturing, they just decreed. They decided to have the League of Nations make a decree that this that what was most valuable there would be given to Poland. And Germany lost 29% of its land there, over 3,000 square kilometers. And 46% of the inhabitants went to the Polish side. Even Katowice, which had voted 85% for remaining a part of Germany, was taken away. And Poland was given 85% of the coal reserves and 75% of all industrial establishments in the area. And that is why it is said that this was all just given to Poland. Poland did not win this by any kind of conquest or win it in battle, except for these insurgencies that they were carrying out. They may have thought that they were winning something there. But, it was just handed over to them. As much because the Allies wanted to support a stronger Poland as that they wanted to weaken Germany. Now, the last thing I'll say is some quotes here. Let's see my time on. Good. I'm doing good with time. The Upper Silesian representative, the German one, Karl Ulitzka, declared, and I want to give a quote from him. He said the decision regarding Upper Silesia is and remains a violation of law, madness politically, and a crime financially. Again, this really fits in what we're seeing in our situation today. Paulenka says, what a contrast to the nearly unanimous applause of the German Bundestag in 1990 after they confirmed the permanent cession of Silesia, East Pomerania, and East Prussia to Poland. Well, I skipped here something I need to say that when this cession of Upper Silesia was completed on June 15, 1922, a time of really terrible persecution began against the Germans. Tens of thousands were forcefully expelled or fled in fear from the Polish onslaught. And on May 30th, 1922, the Reichstag, which was about 15 days or so before this session was, this split was finalized, on that day, the Reichstag in Germany met under a massive Silesian flag draped in black crepe. Now, so the Reichstag, the Germans were in sympathy with the German Silesians. They were at least they were expressing that this was a terrible time, a terrible tragedy, and many, many, many Germans living in Silesia became refugees in Germany, which was starving itself. And then Rudy Pawelka wants to contrast this rightly to the 1990 German Bundestag, which gave unanimous applause, or nearly unanimous applause, after it confirmed the permanent cession of Silesia, East Pomerania, and East Prussia to Poland. Now, you see, Germany had never agreed to this. Germany had never agreed to this. But it couldn't do anything about it. But in 1990, it said, okay, yes, we approve. This is the permanent border, and this is all that area is permanently belongs to Poland, and this was quite a slap and a terrible affront to the Silesians, who continue to want to make things right for themselves. Anyway, and let's also compare this to Netanyahu in our own Congress here in the United States not too long ago, when our congressmen were unanimously applauding, or nearly unanimously applauding him over and over and over again, when Israel has been nothing but a thief to the United States Treasury and people and fighting forces and so on, nothing but stealing stealing us blind, but our Congress people are applauding it. So this is how things have changed from back then when there was still a pretense of doing right by your own people, and now there is not. We are in the throes of total globalism. So the last thing I'll say here, and more shameful stuff that goes on, is that in Gorlitz, Germany, Korfanty, that's a museum in Germany, Korfanty is presented as only a victim, that he wanted to restore Poland, and he's been the target of German propaganda. This is how Germany has turned against itself. We'll be right back.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager, and I've got about 4.5 or 5 minutes. Nobody did call in, but you're welcome to call at 1-800-313-9443 right now if you want to make a comment. Now, let me just say this, that I know that many of our Polish compatriots or comrades get very unhappy with me when I start talking about these issues from the past of Germany-Poland relations. And I understand that everybody has their side, but I think that I don't apologize for this at all, because I think that in these times that I'm speaking of, there is no excuse for what Poland did except nationalism. Well, they were very strong nationalists, and they still are. This nationalist movement had been going on, and I know I'm a nationalist too, so I understand. But I always tell them, you make your case. If you can make a case, and they never do. They say a few weak things. They'll talk about a few Polish heroes or something, but they never can make their case. They go away, but they don't like what I'm saying. Well, I'm not trying to attack Poland or Poles. It might sound like it. I am somewhat I am somewhat loyal to my own national background, but I think that the facts show what happened, and this is part of what we need to understand in order to understand the situation that we're in today, and that includes the Poles need to understand it too, because it can happen to them. You know, it can happen to all of us. And when we lose power, we need to be careful not to lose power based on these liberal ideas that somehow we can all live in peace if we just get rid of those bad guys at the top. All the people of the world can join together in some kind of some kind of a utopia or some kind of a blessed state where no one will be fighting with anyone else, and we'll all get along and we'll all mix together. This is communism pure and simple. This is world revolution. This is something that is pie in the sky. And what happens from this is that people like ourselves lose control. We lose the power because we give it away. We give it away, or it's taken away, and we can't, if we don't have any power, we can't resist. If we're not in the game, if we get thrown out of the game through often population changes, demographics, and so on, the worst things in the world can happen to us. We have no idea. You know, for me personally, I have lived a life where I have never had to suffer anything except for my own, you know, mistakes, accidents, whatever. But I have, you know, I have never had to face any of the things that I know people have been facing throughout the history of the world. And it can get very, very terrible. And we need to understand, and I'm going to bring this up very plainly, that as the white race and as the European race, we need to keep ourselves in a powerful position, or we will be at the mercy of those who do not have the values and the idealism that we have. So that's my program for today. I hope I haven't offended too many people. Please do come back tomorrow. There's going to be some good programs with Wilf Hank, and they're going to be about real revisionist issues, facts and figures. And these are things I want you to know. So this is why I have this program. So signing off for now. Have a good day. So long.
The next round of